Take your Bibles and go to John chapter 21, if you would, please. John chapter 21, really just emphasizing two verses of Scripture. Of course, we will be looking at others, as is our practice. But as a jumping off point, I would like to draw our attention to John 21, just a couple of phrases here in verses 7 and 20. And I'm preaching tonight on the subject, a personal relationship with God. It's going to be pretty practical tonight, as you can tell by the table I have up here with some of the books on there. Somebody asked before the services I was going to be selling Bibles tonight. I said, well, you know, I have to pay for the Christmas bills. So, but at the same time, just want to give some helps tonight in regards to our personal devotional walk with God. In John chapter 21, in verse 7, it says, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. The phrase that really jumped out to me in this passage of Scripture was, the disciple whom Jesus loved. If you'll go down to verse 20, I don't remember saying that. Other people will not get what I say, you know, at all. At the same time, it's the Holy Spirit at times is doing a work that I'm not really aware of that individual needs. And so he's speaking through the preached word. And he's used the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe, as well as to give instruction. That's his methodology that he has chosen, so you can't really improve upon that. But what I find, depending on our worldview and the direction from which we find ourselves, maybe our background, our environment, our exposure to truth, you know, how we would receive the things that are said. And so it sometimes is confusing as people, we throw around terminology, and it gets confusing as to how people are really receiving that terminology. For example, when we talk about being saved, sometimes being saved, some people might think, well, what accident were you saved or spared from? Some people would say, well, saved from what? Or they'll say, well, were you saved? What do you mean by being saved? I was saved because I was baptized, or I was saved because I was this or I was that. We throw around saved, but what do we mean? What do we mean by being born again? Are you talking about reincarnation? And so it really depends on how you are receiving that message. When we talk about personal devotions, it can be confusing as well as to what we mean by personal devotions. Some people have a wide variety of thinking about your personal time with God every day. Some people say a person has to spend every day with a little bit of time with God, reading their Bible and praying. Then some people say, I must be a terrible Christian, if really one at all, because I hardly ever read my Bible. Or I'm about ready, because of the subject matter that the pastor is addressing, I'm about ready to go on the biggest guilt trip of my life. For years, I think I looked at devotions as a duty to perform. I wanted to be a good Christian. I really did. When I got saved, my life changed. I spent from the age of 9, and I know that may not seem too serious to many people here in this room, but when I was 9, I made that false profession of faith, and so I played the game. I memorized Scripture. I was active in youth. I went door knocking. I did all that. I memorized the Romans Road. I even led people to Jesus Christ, and I was lost. And then when I was 15, I got saved. And yet, when I got saved, I wanted to be a good Christian. I wanted to take the Christian life seriously. And so, at the same time, I looked at this that, boy, if I didn't read my Bible and I didn't read a certain number of Scripture every day, then somehow I was a bad Christian. And I would spend my time asking God to forgive me and help me to do better the next day. And you know how it is. Sometimes you'll set out to make those best of intentions and you'll read the Bible for a day or two and, boy, things are clicking along just fine. And maybe you go a week and you say, boy, I'm on a roll, and then you miss a day. And then, okay, I'm going to pick it back up and I'll go at it again. And, oh, that one day then, after a while it begins, you miss another day and two and maybe a week. And then a month goes by, and on it goes. And I'm really concerned for general Christianity that most of us really are mechanical when it comes to our walk with God. We see personal devotions more of a chore to perform rather than a relationship to treasure. With a chore, we either fulfill it as an obligation or we're disobedient to the one who's given us that particular chore. I had chores when I was growing up. I had to wash the car. I had to take out the garbage. I had to cut the grass. If I didn't perform those chores, I'd be in trouble. And I think sometimes our relationship with God is based more on a chore or a duty rather than a relationship that He desires to have with us. And so I really want to emphasize some things tonight that I trust will be a help. Now, you may have all this in line, and this may just be a reminder. It also may give you some ideas for maybe something to spice up your relationship a little bit. Try something different. They say, you know, sometimes a change is the spice of life. In John chapter 21 and verse 7, even though the disciples were not really doing right, you notice something here in verse 7, that John knew it was Jesus. And he knew it was Jesus because he had spent so much time with him. He was close to him. As the scriptures point out, he says, Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter. And so God allowed and told John to write the phrase, the disciple whom Jesus loved. So in other words, Jesus loved John. And we find that John, out of all the disciples, was the closest to the Lord Jesus. In fact, when he hung on the cross, he looked at John and said, "Behold thy mother, and mother, behold thy son." In other words, he was saying, "Look, I'm the oldest of my mom, and so John, I'm passing that on to you." And so Jesus had great confidence because John knew Jesus and Jesus knew John. And so he could be trusted because he had that love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't mechanical. He had his heart involved in it. Amen. And so we see here that love, I believe, is the difference maker. This phrase, whom Jesus loved, the disciple whom Jesus loved, is mentioned in John chapter 13 and verse 23, which is referenced here in verse 20 at the Lord's table. And we see here where John was positioned so close to Jesus. Now, I don't know that Jesus sat there and said, "I want you sitting here and you here and you here and you here." But we find that wherever Jesus was, John was the closest one there. We find that everywhere that Jesus went, John was one of them that was there. He wanted to be with Jesus. And you know, sometimes we say, "Boy, I wish I had a close relationship with God." We can have a close relationship with God. You can have as close a relationship with God as you want. And so it's not up to anyone else. It's not up to your circumstances. It's not up to your bank balance. It's not up to your connections. It has nothing to do with it. It's your personal desire to be with God. You can be close to God. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. I mean, no matter where you are, you can be close to God. You can be very close to God. You can be right in His presence. You can be like John the Beloved. Amen. And we find in John chapter 19, verse 26, that we find here that John cared about what Jesus cared about. And here we find in John chapter 21 and verse 7, that even when backslidden, John knew who Jesus was and he went to him. You know, I can remember when I was dating Brenda, and I was developing a relationship with her. I wanted time with her any way I could get it. I mean, like, I can remember our church there at Franklin Road had burned, and so we had the school facility, but we didn't have the auditorium. We were right in the midst of building the auditorium, and a lot of the men of the church were doing the work, and there were five of us in the Christian school that were seniors that year, three guys and two girls. So a couple of us, we would go to school till noon, and then we would work on the church site for the afternoon. And I can remember Brenda, she was one grade behind me, and she was in grade 11. And I would do whatever I could do at break time. I would go out. There was a field right next to the church property, and I'd pick weeds. They had flowers, you know. And I'd pick weeds and I'd pick flowers. And no word of a lie, Mr. Jones, bless his heart, he would teach math, but he would teach math sort of, you know, he would teach it, but it'd be like he was staring off into space somewhere. And I can remember going down the hallway of the Christian school, and I walked in the back door, and the class was facing this way, and he was facing this way, and I came walking in the back door. He didn't miss a beat, and I'm carrying these flowers. And I walked right up to Brenda's desk, and I put the flowers on her desk, and then I walked out. Man, I said, you know, point for me. And you know, he never addressed that. He never said a word about it. And so, you know, but what was I doing? I was developing a relationship. I was letting her know how I felt. One of the most awful times of my life was just as I was getting ready to go off to Tennessee Temple, that in August, I remember it was the first week of August, and I was on the telephone. In the evenings after we worked at the church site, I cleaned some Commerce Union banks. This is SunTrust now. And so I would go into these banks, and after I would empty the trash and vacuum floors and whatnot, I'd go into the conference room, and I'd kick back in the big leather chairs, and I'd pull the phone over, and I'd call Brenda. And I can remember the first time I ever told her I loved her. There was dead silence on the other side of the phone. I thought, oh no, Mike, you blew it. You know? I mean, here I am trying to let her know that I, and you know, when you say you love somebody, what do you expect to hear in return? I love you too. I didn't hear that. For 3 weeks, I didn't hear that. She put me through the ringer, I tell you. But you know, there were some things in our relationship, though, that, boy, I took every available opportunity. Normally, the Bill Rice Ranch, you go Highway 96 and you go up to 24, Interstate 24, and you could scoot on over towards her house. Or you could take the winding country roads. And I knew the shortcuts. And so my dad always had a curfew. He said, Mike, you be home at 11 o'clock. You're not home at 11 o'clock, that car is going to be sitting. And he meant business, too, because I had that happen a couple times. And so I knew the shortcut. I knew how long it would take me to get home, regardless of the weather. You know, I wanted to spend time with her. I wanted to develop a relationship with her. When I went off to Bible college, just about every day we tried to write. And boy, I loved going to my mailbox at Tennessee Temple, right next to Happy Corner. That was a little cafe kind of thing that they had. We'd come out of chapel. We'd go check our mail. I'd open up that mailbox and I'd pull that letter out. And she put perfume on that thing. Amen. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? You don't? Sorry. But at the same time, you know, we're romancing each other. And I would go to my dorm and I would sit there on the edge of my bed and I'd read that letter. And then I'd read it again. Then I'd read it again. Man, I tell you what, that was good stuff. You know, I was developing a relationship and I took every available opportunity I could to try to spend time with her, try to communicate with her. I had a car and I had a big whip of a CB radio antenna on there. I was called the Blue Streak. That was my name. Man, if you're old, you know what I'm talking about, those old CB radios. Oh, that's so sad. Then it was 100 miles from Chattanooga to Murfreesboro. And boy, I would scoot home for the weekends just so I could spend a few hours with her. I was trying to develop a relationship. You know, it's amazing the kind of effort we will put in to develop certain relationships. And yet when it comes with our relationship with God, we look at it more as, oh, I got to. Not that I get to, but I got to. And we ought to just change our entire line of thinking in regards to our walk with God. And so I want us to go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And you know the penman for 1 John and 2 John and 3 John, the book of Revelation and the Gospel of John, is the disciple whom Jesus loved. And we find here in 1 John chapter 4 a great passage of Scripture in regards to that God is love. God is the very epitome of love. If you don't have God, you don't really know how to love. But if you have God, He is love. And you have the resources there at your disposal and really the Holy Spirit indwelling your life to truly love as God loves. And so I encourage people this way too when it comes to 1 John. If you doubt your salvation, if you struggle whether you love or God loves you or not, I'd encourage you for 30 days to take the book of 1 John, those five chapters, and read through them every day. Now, don't turn me off because you say, five chapters? If you were just to go and read this through conversationally, you'll find that it takes less than 20 minutes to read these five chapters. Now, you know, you'll listen to that in commercials in an hour-long program these days. And so it's not that much time. And so let me encourage you, if you doubt your salvation, you doubt the love of God in your life, take 1 John, these five chapters, and read through them every day for a month and see if that doesn't change your heart and your way of thinking. But we find here God is love in 1 John chapter 4. Let's begin reading in verse 7. Beloved, I like the terminology that he uses. You see, he is encouraging. He's tender at this point. You know, quit thinking that God is out to get you. Quit thinking that He just really is going to put you through the ringer if you sell out to Him. Don't do that. You know, just understand He loves you and He wants to develop a... He made Adam and Eve to fellowship with. And that's what broke His heart so much in the garden is when Adam and Eve chose to sin. And so that's why He slew those innocent animals, shed their blood, and clothed their nakedness. And really looking forward to the coming Messiah, whose blood would wash away all sin. It says here in 1 John chapter 4, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Manifested means shown. He says, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Sounds like John 3:16. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means He was the payment for our sins. That's the doctrine of propitiation. He was our payment. Amen. And it says here, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. See, that's another assurance verse, isn't it? If you're saved, He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's with you. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So when we are thinking about developing a loving and vibrant relationship with God, just think that God is love. Approach your time with God and your relationship with God on that basis, not as an angry individual in heaven waiting for you to step out of line. That's not the God that we have. Number two, realize what you have been saved from. This takes some thoughts and meditation. I want you to go to Luke chapter 7, if you would. Luke chapter 7. And here we have an account of what the Bible says is a woman who's a sinner. And she knew, this woman, as we read this account in just a moment, she knew what she had been saved from. And let me just read the account, because the Holy Spirit gives a much better way of explaining it than I ever could. It says here in verse 36 down to verse 50, he says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat." Verse 37 of Luke 7. "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, This is Jesus now, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven." And what I like is the next two verses as well, because some people would say, oh, so we're saved by works. No. It says, "And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he's 5 years old in Sunday school or master club or out of VBS. The fact of the matter is, your sins would have taken you straight to hell. And so even our righteousnesses, no matter what age, if we just really saw the immensity and the gravity of our sin outside of Christ, it would change the way we looked at Christ. And that we'd also change the way we view Him and how we love Him. Amen? And so realize what you've been saved from. Number three, take the opportunities to develop your relationship. And so when we start talking about a devotional walk with God, we're talking about, of course, the Scriptures, the Word of God. I talk about the avenue of prayer, where Daniel, he prayed habitually. David prayed 7 times a day. John, the beloved, sought to be close to Jesus. You have, of course, the church that we worship in and that we hear the Word of God preached. You may have godly-minded friends who also desire God. And I would encourage you that if you want to have a close relationship with God, you hang around those others that also want that same thing. Birds of a feather do flock together. In Psalm 42, verse 1, the Scripture says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." And then I want to give some practical helps tonight. A little bit different. You might think that this would be better suited for a Wednesday night, but I just really felt like on a Sunday night to just maybe give some helps in regards to that daily time with God, that personal devotional walk with God. And so I think we need to have that realization that He's with us always. And I'm going to move this table a little bit closer to me just so I can grab the things that's needed. I got thanks. Appreciate it, John. Now, I think every single one of you got this card. Everybody got a card? Okay. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God. That's why you have these cards. Why? Because thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee, against God. And so you have this card, if you'll look at it, it says forward. That's our yearly theme, to be sure. But it says Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Let's all read this card together. You got your card? Okay. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, or you could use your Bible, or maybe you already have it memorized. Let's read it together. Begin, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Again, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, there are different ways to memorize, but it's amazing. Many times when we come to the Bible, we say, oh, I just can't memorize Scripture. But yet it's amazing that we can go and we can memorize phone numbers. We can memorize directions to favorite places to eat, places to visit. It's amazing how we can remember those kinds of things. But how about the Word of God? Yes, we're going to have spiritual warfare. Yes, we're going to have the devil try to keep from us having and hiding God's Word in our heart. But let me just encourage you, take this card this week, and if you don't have this memorized, it wouldn't take us, and I thought about doing it, but I'm not going to do it tonight in the interest of time. But if you'll take this card tomorrow and 25 times, just read through it. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And after 25 times, you put the card up. Then Tuesday, 20 times. Wednesday, 15. You get the idea? At the end of the week, you will have this verse memorized. You will also have put it in your subconscious. And you'll be thinking about that throughout the day. I press toward the mark. So that when you get tired of something, you want to quit, you get irritated, you can think of this verse of Scripture. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's value in memorizing the Word of God. And so I want you to be encouraged to move forward in your Bible memorization this year. Put an emphasis on it. I'm not saying, every week I get up and say, we as a church family, we're memorizing this particular verse of Scripture. And I realize some of you are homeschooling and you have Bible programs that you're following there and you may be memorizing other verses of Scripture. That's great. I'm not telling you to stop that. I'm not telling you you have to do this. I'm not trying to make you go on a guilt trip, but what I am trying to do is equip you to memorize the Word of God, to memorize and hide it in your heart. Because you'll be surprised when you go through things. Man, the Holy Spirit will bring that verse of Scripture, bring that truth to your mind. Oh, my. I can remember going through a valley experience, and even today as I was thinking about this message, I thought a verse of Scripture. I said, Lord, what verse of Scripture really helped me at this particular time in my life? And boom, it came. And I'm going to read it to you. It's Psalm 119, and in verse 67, and then it drops down to verse 71. He says these words, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Verse 71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. We learn a lot of things when we go through trouble. And so here the psalmist says, it was good for me. Boy, that just sort of sets things in perspective. And as you and I begin to develop that relationship with the Lord and we spend time in His Word, it's amazing how He will have certain passages of Scripture that maybe you read 1,000 times before, but yet now, boy, the light comes on and you say, that is just what I needed. He'll do that over and over. Why? Because He loves you. When you're close to someone, it seems like, they have the right words to say at the right time. They just know when to call. They know when to draw up alongside. They just know when to leave you alone or when to, come into your presence. I mean, it's just amazing. And that's our God. And so let me encourage you about Bible memorization. You have this bookmark has the same verse of Scripture on there that you have. And also we have the Bible reading calendar. Now, you may have a different program. You know, every year we tried doing a different program. You know that one year we did the Reese Chronological Bible. We did the one-year Bible. We've got all kinds of these plans out, and we printed these Bible calendars as well. If you read through what's listed on this for 1 year, you will read the entire Bible in 1 year's time. And, you know, when you read the Scriptures, even when you don't stop and study it, it works like a sieve. And it does a lot of cleaning and catching a lot of the junk that comes through your life. And so there's value in just reading the Scriptures and just reading the Scriptures and just reading the Scriptures. And I want to encourage you this year. Now, there are some people who make a big deal about, I'm not going to make New Year's resolutions. Well, you know, we're all the time changing things and doing things. Say, boy, I'm going to start this again, or I'm going to start doing that. You know, I'm going to go on this diet, I'm going to go on that diet, and that kind of stuff. We'll do it for that, but not spiritual things. Why don't you set out and say, you know what, I'm going to start spending more time in my Bible this year. And I'm not trying to tell you that you have to read a certain number of chapters. There are all kinds of plans. If you want to read through the Bible in 6 months, there's a plan to do that. If you want to do it in a year, you can do that. If you read 6 chapters a day, you'll read through a couple times a year. And there's those plans that you could read certain portions of Scripture every single month. But what I'm trying to, and you'll read through Proverbs every, you'll read through Proverbs 12 times a year, Acts 12 times a year, you know, the Psalms 12 times a year, and then other portions of Scripture as well. And it doesn't take that much time. But don't get all bent out of shape if you don't read as much one day that you read the next day. Sometimes God will have you read one phrase or one verse. And you know what? That just hits right home what you need for that day. That's God speaking to you. You know, and you just grab hold of that and say, I'm going to squeeze this one for all it's worth right now. So it could also mean that you'll end up reading 6 chapters one day because you prayed and said, Lord, show me what I need today. What do I need to hear from you today? And you may read and read and read, and then finally, boom, it'll come. And sometimes it doesn't have to be anything new. It doesn't have to be earth-shattering. It could be just something like, hey, remember this? Remember I said this? Amen? And just that's what relationships all about. When you are married, if you're married, you know that you don't have to have something new all the time. There's just something about being with that one. And so let me encourage you, you know, spend time reading in the Word of God. There are all kinds of helps that we have. I've got some devotional helps. There's the Walk with God, and these are in the bookstore. I pulled these out of the bookstore. This is out of my office. But I put this devotional guide together some time ago, and it had it has some guidelines to go by when you do the scripture, the spec sheet, as I call it. And what I did is I went back a couple of years to find what I had written in John chapter 21 and 1 to 14. And that day, which was April 2018, it said, I read Proverbs 16 as well as Psalms 48 through 50. And then in the New Testament, I read John 21 verses 1 to 14. And I made some comments here. Happiness comes from seeking God's wisdom, implementing it, and resting on the results accordingly. And then I said, what did God show me today? And then I wrote some things there and what God showed me. And here's the point of meditation. I mentioned that I had read Proverbs 16, and you know I love Proverbs. So I'm going to go to Proverbs 16, and I want to read the verse of Scripture and then what I wrote about it. It says, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now, hoary, you've heard of hoarfrost. That's when you get up in the morning and everything's just white. You know, that frost, that bright white frost. Well, it's talking about the gray hair. I wasn't all that gray in 2018. But at the same time, when I read this passage of Scripture, I wrote this as a point of meditation for me to think on that day. To be worthy of gray hair, I must walk with God. Because the Bible here says, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. I'm not against coloring your hair necessarily, But I just wanted to say, okay, if I'm going to have gray hair, I sure want to be worthy in my walk of righteousness. But you know, there's a devotional guide, and you can get those in the bookstore. These are helps. You don't have to. I don't make money off this. There's David Brady, who did the Purity Plan. Guys, it's one thing to go through a program for Purity Plan, but at the same time, you need that constant reminder to stick with it, to stay with it, because we do have the tendency to wonder, and he's got a devotional guide lined up. They're in the bookstore. You can get those. How about Morning and Evening by Charles Spurgeon? They have a devotional in the morning, and they also has a devotional in the evening. And you may want to take a time, and you may want to go through and read this. Now, I would encourage this. These are great helps, these devotionals. But by the same token, make sure you spend time in the Word of God. In other words, when you read a devotional guide like this, and like this by Tim Green today and tomorrow too, and he has a couple of devotional guides that helps you. Tozer has this for the Christian leader, A.W. Tozer, compiled by Ron Eggert. And that's for leadership and so on. And he has those principles here, a leader's guide. These are all helps. These are gleanings that other people have gotten from the Scriptures. And so there's value in that. Years ago, people used to use our daily bread. You may use the Baptist bread that they have out and so on. Those are great devotional guides, but I look at them as good starters and good additions, but not as your sole devotional. Make sure that you hear from God, and you hear from God when you're in God's book, because that's how He speaks to us. This is God's Word. And so it's great to hear those different perspectives of what people got from their reading of that passage. But God wants to tell you what He has for you in that passage. So use these for additional blessings, but great. That's good. But yet at the same time, read the Scriptures yourself. Also, you may want to have, this is just a notebook. I didn't realize we had these in the bookstore. But my wife journals. She uses a regular notebook. And every morning she gets the Bible out and she will read a passage of Scripture, and then she studies that passage out. She doesn't just read it and then write her thoughts. She actually does some study in regards to those particular passages of Scripture. I think she's in Ezekiel now. But at the same time, it would be good to be able to maybe write what God is showing you in that. And it doesn't have to be, some of you I know struggle with writing. Some of you struggle with your reading as well. And there are a lot of helps nowadays with technology that can encourage you and help you in having your daily time with God. Just about everybody who struggles with writing knows how to text. They can work those thumbs. And so you can use that. You can put your devotional walk in your phone or on your iPad and whatnot. And so it could also be something where you would have your phone. And I've got Alexander Scorby here. And I know I've done this in church before to show you. But now if you get Alexander Scorby, which I just happen to be partial to, you're going to probably pay some money for that. But there are other Bible programs out there. Blue Letter, I think, is one. There's a couple of others. And they have someone else, I think a guy by the name of Johnson, last name of Johnson, that reads the Scriptures. And you may find that helpful. Whatever you have to do so that you can get the Word of God, you know, in you, that's fine. I try to use this when I'm getting ready in the mornings. And, you know, I'm not some super saint, but I need all the help I can get, I'll be honest with you. And so what's great is when I'm getting ready in the mornings, I just turn this on.
Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death.
One thing you could do is you could actually take your Bible, open it up, and you could have this be reading at the same point, and that will help you in your reading. Help you in your reading speed, your comprehension, and receiving the message that way. And then you can hit stop and meditate as you're going through the Scriptures that way. But whatever works for you, work it. I may mention when Brother Jessup was really battling cancer, and he wanted to go fishing one last time. And after he had spent some time here, we went to up around Red Lake and everything in Ontario around Sioux Lookout. And he rented a cabin that for just the two of us. And that next morning when we'd gotten up, I had had my phone in the bedroom there, and I was listening to Alexander Scorby. And I walked out, and in the living room, Brother Jessup was sitting there in the easy chair. He had his headphones on, but he had Alexander Scorby on and his Bible in his lap. And so, you know, there's all different ways. There's no set way that you can have. You have to have your devotions. This is a personal relationship with you. Have I always used this methodology? No. But by the same token, I've changed it through the years and probably will change it again sometime. But that's the spice of life, right? And so I want to encourage you, starting tomorrow, you know, spend some time walking with God and maybe using these things that would be a help to you. Now, I also want to encourage you, like, this is my iPad, and if you don't mind free Bible programs, one of the things that you can do is you can go and download what we call eSword. I used to, for years, there's a program you can buy. It's called Logos, and it has a lot of your languages in there, your Greek and Hebrew and other Bible study helps that way if you're really getting into textual work. And I used to use that quite a bit. Then I went to a free source called Online Bible. And then somebody had me told me about eSword. And so now I use eSword. So, you know, I've changed through the years. And they've got all kinds of helps. And I just want to encourage you to just think of eSword. And it's a free download. And right now I have it set for Strong's on here. I can have just the Bible text. Or I could actually have the Strong's Concordance, and then I can just tap. If I want to know what a word means, I can just tap it, and it will give me the Strong's word, the Greek or the Hebrew. It will also give me the definition of what that word means. Not to correct the King James, okay? We don't believe in that. We've got the pure Word of God, okay? But it does help sometimes to get the definition in our minds. And so that's helpful. Also, it says here there's a commentary. You can go all the way over here to resources, and here it lets you know what I've downloaded free of charge. I've downloaded the Greek New Testament, the Textus Receptus, from which we get our King James Bible, the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, the King James Version, and then the King James Version with Strong's Numbers. And then I've installed commentaries. All these are free. The Cambridge Bible, John Gill's, Matthew Henry's, the Alexander McLaren, F.B. Meyer Devotional, the Treasury of David by Spurgeon. Treasury of David would be the Psalms. And then the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, Wiersbe's Expository Outlines, Wiersbe Bible Commentary on the New Testament. I've installed 2, 4, 6, 7 different programs. I find it helpful. And so they also have the different languages in there. They have the German, they have the Russian, they have other language groups on here as well. So you might find that helpful as well. Okay, I won't be too much longer, but I just want to give these helps tonight. And then I want to encourage you. Like here is the American Dictionary of the English Language. This is the 1828 that you hear us talk about a lot. They're in the bookstore, but also you can download it on your computer. Plus, if you'll just go and Google Webster's 1828, put the word in that you want, it will give you the 1828 definition without you having to buy it. Okay? So, sorry, Matt. We just blew that sale. Okay? Then you have the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. It traces every verse of Scripture. And if you ever want to chase a particular word or verse down where it's listed, the truth of it, you take this verse and then you chase every single one of those references. And you talk about a rich Bible study, that would be it. You know, some people say for a preacher that they should study the verses of Scripture or passages of Scripture for their sermons, and that they should have their daily time with God. I'll have to say that a lot of the stuff I preach is because of the fact that God has spoken to my heart through my devotions. And so there's just that works for me. that you have Strong's, the compact Bible commentary. You've got David Cloud has the Way of Life commentary series. We've got all kinds of commentary. And at the end of every chapter, not only does he give his write-up on that particular chapter, he will ask a series of questions at the end of each chapter that you could actually go through and do a complete book study in regards to the Word of God. So depending on what you have time for, and don't feel like you have to spend 2-3 hours. If you have it, great. But if you don't have that time, you know, you're trying to develop a relationship with God and know Him better. And the way you know God is by spending time with Him. The way you know people is you spend time with them. And so the more time you spend with someone, the more you know them. Excuse me. So I want to encourage you that way. Here's one. It's $3, the Bible Promise Book. And it just has the various promises in the Word of God. Oh, promise. I turned it right here to page 82, laziness. Is there a message in that? Okay. You have meekness. Verses of Scripture that deal with that particular subject matter. Then you have heartwarming hymn stories. And you may just want to read through books like this that give you some of the background of the various hymns that we sing. It really makes a big difference when you, everybody knows the background story of It Is Well With My Soul, you know, about Spafford losing his children in that sinking ship. He had already lost everything through the Chicago fire, and then he lost his children there, and then his wife got to, I believe, London and said, sent a telegram back to him and said, saved alone. And then when he was passing over to meet his wife, then came across that section of the ocean that the ship had gone down, killing his family, and he wrote the words, "It is well with my soul." Why I'm crying, I don't know. Okay, and then I also want to encourage you this way. There was a preacher of the past that used to pick a hymn every day and sing that hymn throughout the day. He would try to have a song that he would sing. You know, I mentioned that song this morning about run if you want to, run if you will. I think Victoria Freund was guilty. She went and she put it on her status. I listened to it. I was in here before the evening service and I was sort of humming that song to myself, and then I heard somebody whistling. And they were whistling that same thing, and there came Steve out of the media room and he was whistling it. It's amazing how music sticks with you. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. Amen. There's messages in these songs, and they're good messages. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want to encourage you this way when you have your personal devotions to spice it up a little bit. You may need to pull away from the family. You may need to go somewhere where they can't hear you. Okay? And that is, get yourself a songbook. Many of you got a songbook when we were having the parking lot services. And you could actually sing some songs to the Lord. I wrote a couple of down here just as an example. I'm not going to sing it to you, I don't think. But, you know, you can actually sing some of these songs to the Lord. And I thought about page number 328, Close to Thee. Thou my everlasting portion. This is going to say, you can just say, Lord, I want to read this to you, or I want to sing this to you. And you can say, Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. And then you go over here to page number 323, and there's another good song. And you can actually, you know, change the words. You know, this is, you're not messing with the Word of God when you're doing this with the songs. And here it says, more love to Thee. And you say, more love to Thee, O Christ, more love to Thee. Hear Thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to Thee, more love to Thee, more love to Thee. Don't you think that honors God? If you mean those words, you say, well, they're not inspired. No, they're not. But boy, they could be coming from your heart. And you can even sing it to Him. It will help you. It will speak to the Lord. I believe it would be a sweet-smelling savor to Him. How about this in page number 318 of our Blue Hymn Book? And there's so many other songs we could have chosen. I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. And just get your heart in tune with the Lord, you see. And so there's all kinds of ways that you can, you know, develop your walk with God. And I'm not saying one is right or one is wrong or one's better than another. But I am trying to get you to see that you can have a walk with God. And God will be honored by that. And I trust that something's been said tonight that would be a blessing to you, that will help you in developing a personal relationship with God, because that's what He wants. And the way you really get to know someone is to spend time with that one. You know, I thought I knew Brenda years ago when we were dating. But you know, after 43 years, I know her a lot more. Why? I've spent more time with her. She knows a lot of times what I'm thinking. She knows what I'm going to say many times. Why? Because she knows me. She knows how I'm going to act and react. Why? Because she knows me. And I think one of the things we're missing in the Christian life today is we don't spend enough time with God. We may hear about God. We may hear how He works in this person's life and what He's doing over here and so on and so forth. But we really don't know Him ourselves. And so we don't know how He's going to act, how He's going to react, what's He going to say. Is He going to be mad? Is He going to be upset? Is He going to be pleased? You know, should I not? You know, we don't know that because we don't know Him. But once we get to know Him, then we're going to know what is expected. We're going to have that relationship with Him. We're going to be like an Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he was not. I'm astounded by that little verse of Scripture in Genesis chapter 5. Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. What a relationship they must have had. Amen? Well, some practical helps. Let me just encourage you. Set out this year to make this a year that you develop a personal relationship with God. Don't just view Him as just your Savior, but as your friend.